Welcome to the Underground, the Steel City Underground, the black and gold standard for Pittsburgh Steelers coverage. Now, here's your host, Joe Kuzma and Brian E. Roach.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Steel City Underground podcast. My name's Joe Kuzma, and conspicuous by both of our absences, joining me here right now and when, a one, Mr. Brian E. Roach. Brian, what's going on, my buddy?
What the hell did that mean? Conspicuous by both of our absences. We're both here. You're very confusing to me.
We didn't have an earlier show this
week. Okay, I get it.
You know why? We didn't really have anything to talk about. I mean, I guess I could complain about the draft a little bit more, or mock draft grades or anything like that. But let's complain about
I could
about
have this. Annoyed everyone and talked about my luscious lips again.
Yeah, well, let's not do that either. Or either. Potato, potato, tomato, tomato. Hey, we've got some other news, some other things to complain and whine and bellyache and complain about. I think I said complain
yes,
twice.
Yes, we do.
You know why?
Because it's doubly complainable.
Because there's more games to complain about this season.
There are.
17 games, and lo and behold, the NFL didn't listen to me. Maybe even you. I'm not sure if we both said this. Like, there should be two bye weeks in this thing. But
should be, but yeah, there's not.
It's crazy. They could easily extend this yet, or start it up 1 week earlier and get even more TV money. But after they already – that's coming. I bet that's coming, because that's like the bargaining chip. Let's see what we can get now, and we're going to get a little more because players union, they can't. I know they're not happy about it. All the young guys voted this in. This is the way it is. The young, dumb, immature, not knowing any better, instead of the old and wise. I don't know any old or wise people personally. Yeah. Brian's over here. What was that, man? He was like, never mind. I'm not going to describe it. You
saw
it on video.
I don't know what that was.
I can't describe it. It might
saying I am old and wise.
Yeah, I don't know. It looked like you're about to do the Mr. President dance over there for a second. So
I don't know. I don't even know how the hell to do that.
Well,
I don't even know what that dance is.
Yeah. You know what's this year? We get the preseason schedule out early too. Usually they wait a few days and announce it. Sometimes they don't even do like the whole pomp and circumstance. It got on in the background. It was Rich Eisen and everybody doing the NFL Network thing, and they're at like SoFi Stadium or something ridiculous here doing the whole reveal. I know that they've always announced it. Usually they announce it quietly, or they've announced, hey, it's going to be released then, and then it doesn't show up on TV, because I mark it down because it's kind of important, like you and me, and we try and figure out our travel plans. You need a hotel when you're not like local. You got to work this around work, primetime games, you know, travel schedules, and everything else like that. So it's kind of important.
But unlimited PTO, my friend.
Yeah,
unlimited.
Well, unlimited. I you know, I don't know what that is. There's no rest for the wicked, by the way.
I know. So, I have unlimited PTO that I'll never be able to take because I work all day.
Yeah, I was about to say, speaking of which, one of the reasons why we don't always get together and do this is because Brian's even busier than I am. So, but, you know, it's that dull lull period right now where you don't have a whole lot to talk about. But we do have an NFL schedule. There is four preseason games because the Steelers had the COVID thing last year. There was no preseason. They kicked the Hall of Fame game with the Dallas Cowboys over to Thursday, August 5th here. Then they have the Eagles, Lions, and the Panthers. And Panthers is almost always at the Panthers or vice versa. They always play the Eagles. Yep. It's these close teams. Every now and then they get the Lions or the Falcons or somebody like that. So makes kind of sense to me here. That aside, I don't really care too much other than preseason was kind of important because some of these young men get a chance to play. You got a lot of the stars and stuff that are sitting. And so these guys may not get an opportunity to show what they could do. But then again, man, some of them, even when they do show out, they don't end up panning out. Let's say, who, for example, was it Tuzar Skipper, for example, getting some sacks? Or I'm trying to think of my guy from Youngstown now. I can't even think. The wide
Derek
receiver.
Rivers?
No, he had a bunch. He was the wide receiver. No, Rivers didn't even play here.
I know.
God, it'll come to me in a minute. I keep thinking Patterson for some reason. Is that the right name?
Yeah, maybe.
And I mean, he ended up with like the Buccaneers or something on their practice squad. But I mean, he balled out, but there was no room with all the other wide receivers. But still, you get to see these guys. It's kind of cool to some degree. But more or less, there's the players that need some of this too, like your quarterbacks, your backup quarterbacks. They don't ever take reps. That's why a lot of them are a lot better when they get a chance right out of college, because they're still kind of fresh off the field. So that kind of, but otherwise, they did get rid of overtime in the preseason. That's
oh, isn't that nice?
One of the most fun games ever. Here's another throwback to preseason. Hojo, Howard Jones, right? Jones, yes. Outside linebacker. And it was an overtime game. I always want to say against the Falcons, because now I got 2010 on my brain with that opener of that season at Heinz Field. I don't recall. It may have been. And he had the fumble pickup return for a touchdown or something like that. But it was the most fun preseason game I'd ever been to. We didn't want to be there any longer, but we're the kind of guys that don't hit the parking lot all the time. You know what I mean? I like, if I'm paying for a ticket, I'm going to sit there. I'm going to sit through the whole thing. I don't hit the exit doors early, even when they're getting trounced. That's just not me. I don't feel that's a real fan. What, you're getting on the road 5 minutes earlier, you're still going to be deadlocked in traffic. So,
I agree with you.
But regardless, no more overtime in the preseason. I don't know. I don't want to talk too much more about preseason, because we got some other things and stuff to get
into. I got one more preseason thing to say.
No, absolutely. I was going to ask your thoughts.
I'm going to do it. This is my preseason statement. Anybody wants to go to the Lions game, hit us up, because I got tickets and I ain't going. So if you want preseason tickets, get your chance. Let me know. I'll work something out. Somebody will get those tickets who listens.
Hey, it's always, you know, and as silly as it sounds, you're going to see somebody. That could be a dress rehearsal, because that's technically the game in the middle of the schedule. Mm-hmm. So you may get to see some of the starters for a quarter, three, four drives. It might go into the second quarter, might be a half, depending if it's defense. But you get to see Heinz Field if you've never been there, and that's still quite the experience, though. I used to give mine away too, and sometimes it's like pulling teeth, because people just get so spoiled. It's some of the guys and gals that live in the Pittsburgh area, it's like they could just get them like that, and then once you've done it, that's it. But I like to go every now. At training camp, it's like kind of the same thing. When you go to training camp a few times every year, it's good to go. But if you go like every day, there's not a whole lot new to see.
Right.
Maybe somebody stands out one day and then they don't the other. But for the most part, you could gather. You get anywhere between 2 to 5 of those, depending on who's all practicing. If someone's sitting out, obviously you don't get to see them. But after that, it's like you watch preseason games and you're pretty much informed. By the time you get to the preseason, you're pretty much as informed as anyone who's been watching training camp for the most part. So trying to think here. I was trying to look that game up, by the way, and it's driven me crazy. Yes, it was Patterson, but what the heck was his first name? I knew it was a D, too, and I can't. Oh,
I don't know.
I'll figure it out. I'll figure it out. So, please, Brian, 7th straight year in a row, the Pittsburgh Steelers opening on the road. Me and the
cuzzo. That's because the NFL loves us.
Me and the cuzzo were talking about this. It's just it bums you out. You want the beautiful weather, you know, in September. Should be at least better than going to Buffalo in you know, Christmas time or something in December.
I'll take it. I mean, yeah. I'll take if there's a preseason or not preseason, if there's an early season game in the Northern team that's not at home, fine, I'll take it. I mean, it's one less chance to get hit with lake snow or whatever the hell else goes on up there in Buffalo. Not that we had a bad game the last time it was a big snow game up there. I think, you know, somebody ran for like 200 and something yards or something like that.
Yeah, somebody. Could happen again. That somebody.
Could.
Yeah.
Could. Somebody.
Be a heck of an opening. So that was actually, it was down to the 1 yard line, Howard Jones. That was against the Bills, believe it or not. How about that for the quinky dink? And the other guy I was thinking of was Damone Patterson. Could not think of his first name for the life of me. So, anyways, Steelers, it's a 1 o'clock game against the Bills week 1. at Buffalo. You got people already crying about it. Bring it on. At this point, week one football is pretty sloppy as it is. Yeah. So Buffalo is going to be a good team. I'll take them at the beginning of the season where they're probably sloppy, missing tackles, not in sync, versus a fine-tuned machine team that's been winning on a streak of 3-4 wins, like a runaway train like they were when you ran into them last season. So, but just based on what they did last season doesn't mean they'll do it again this season. And we've got to see.
There's plenty more to be complaining about later on in this schedule. Don't be complaining about the Bills game being the opening. Who cares? It is what it is.
Yeah, and you got to see Josh Allen. Yeah, he impressed me last year. But you know what? This is the thing. We've got a lot of people saying the Steelers have the toughest schedule. I'm going to throw this out right now. The strength of schedule things, throw them out the window. It's worse maybe than the draft grades. Until anybody gets on the field, you don't know. And that's the thing. They're throwing the graphics around everywhere, pinpointing things. Like the Cleveland Browns, for example. They have the sixth toughest out of the last four games or whatever. By the time you get to those last four games, maybe that team suffers a major injury to a quarterback. Let's say the Green Bay Packers, for example. I think they're supposed to play them for Christmas. And it's like, oh, hello, Cleveland.
Where?
Green Bay.
Oh, good. I'm happy.
Yeah. You know what? I bring it up just so I got it for sure. So, anyways, it's like, hey, the Cleveland Browns, the whole AFC North has to play basically the same schedule as the Steelers. There's only three games that are variants here. So you have all the teams in the AFC North. That's six of the games. You have 17. So you got 11 left. Eight of those 11 are going to be the two divisions that are common opponents between both of them. The AFC North will play all of the same teams. Who we got this year? We got the NFC North.
AFC West?
AFC South.
AFC South. No.
No, wait a minute. Hold on. Now we
it's the West.
See. It's the West because of the
Chiefs,
Broncos.
Raiders.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And then the division opponents or the division champions from the other two divisions, which would be the Tennessee Titans, the Buffalo Bills, and then that oddball, however they figure it out, the NFC common opponent, which I think it's common finish within the conference, I believe is how they figure that out. So they just line them all up and put them all across from each other, and that's your extra game, your bonus football for the year as far as I'm aware. Now, the home and away, someone asked me earlier on Twitter how they determine that. I think that goes by cycles, like every 4 or 8 years or whatever, depending on the divisions. I don't know that it actually has anything to do with placement, but they still have to have – it used to be 8-8 unless you were playing in London or whatever, which the Steelers aren't doing this year. They got their games are returning there. They have two of them going there this year. Jacksonville always goes there. So the Steelers actually, what? You said 9 home games, right? Is that what you –
9 home games, yes.
Here? 9 home games this year. That goes a little heavy on the wallet for the season ticket holders.
As far as I know, it's the same. I think you just pass off the second home game of your preseason game.
Well, you know what? That could – that you. Well, yeah, that one was like – well, depending on where you sit, obviously. I think that was kind of similar. What they did was they took like $30 off of the two preseason games. And then they just did a premium. There was like a black and a gold tier game, and they just – all they did was tuck the money. But for the full package, it was still the same price. So you may actually be correct there. But for everyone else who buys them individually, though, not quite the same thing. So
No, not quite the same thing.
So anyways, I'm not so bent over the Buffalo Bills. They get their home game. They actually get two in a row here. And you got Sunday. You got all 1 o'clocks here. So you should get a little modicum of consistency here. You get Chucky and the Raiders, and you get the Bengals. You get your first AFC North division opponent right there in week 3. So we're going to see how that pans out.
Yeah. I'm not upset with the first three games. I mean, the Raiders is our home opener. The Bengals the following week. It's nice to have two home games early on like that. I don't mind the second home game, following up having to go to Green Bay the following week. I like having the 2 weeks at home before we have to do that. I like having a week at home after that. And I know I'm getting ahead of things, but, look, I would much rather play the Raiders here, obviously, than in Las Vegas. And Bengals.
Well, it's not Oakland anymore, so it may, maybe the curse is lifted.
No, I just don't want to go to Las Vegas.
No, everybody would go there. That would
I don't want to
black,
travel.
Black and gold, though.
I don't want the team to have. It's almost a West Coast trip, and it's as close as you're going to get without being a West Coast trip. I don't want to do it. They already got one West Coast trip on this schedule. I don't want to do another.
Well, Allegiant. Let me see if they did go there, which they're not. Football, 65,000. Wow, that's not. That's actually the Steelers, Heinz Field. Actually, I thought for being the dome and everything that that thing was going to hold a little bit more when the Steelers expanded. Man, I forgot who asked me this. Maybe it was Zach Banner. He put me on the spot. Yeah, it's up to 68.4 now when they ended, added the end zone seats. Up to 2014, it was 65.5. I remember it was in the 65 range. Anyways, yeah, the Browns do play Christmas Day. At Green Bay, and then it follows up after, and they play on a Saturday. I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's wait until we get to week 16 for our own mess here to talk about. So Buffalo Bills at Buffalo, your September games, just the three of them. Sunday, September 19th, week two, Las Vegas Raiders, and then the Bengals, both of those games at home, all of them 1 o'clocks. You're done. Then you go to Green Bay in early October. So there's not going to be any ice bowl, snow bowl, blizzard bowl, or anything like
probably
that.
Probably not.
No,
probably
you,
not.
You avoid both of the Take really. It. Well, you avoid a little bit of the cold weather. Kansas City is still on the schedule in December. So
yeah.
that could be a little miserable.
But Kansas City ain't Green Bay.
No, it's not the same. You know. So Green Bay, that should be fun. 4:25 game.
Trying to figure out if I can go. You know, it's that's a road trip I kind of want to take.
That would be awesome, and I would totally jump in the. You get a minivan?
No, I don't have. I have a BMW 5 Series. I do not have a minivan.
That was great though, but we've never talked about that. I'm driving the.
Yeah.
I got the Subaru Outback these days, so.
I also have a Mini.
Oh, the Mini.
Yeah,
but Dad, Mini, you have Mini. A Mini. The old,
I do.
You an Austin Powers guy?
No.
Ah.
It's, that movie was stupid. Both of them were stupid. Wait, they were stupid.
There was three of them.
All three of them were stupid.
He didn't even see them, obviously, to know.
I tried to watch the second one. I got through the first one. I went, this is stupid. I tried to watch the second one. I couldn't get through it because it was stupid. Yeah, and that was it. Why would I watch the third?
Mike Myers has Michael Caine and his dad and I forgot what his Reginald Powers or something like that. He had, like, you know, the British name. And then it's Austin
Reginald
Danger Powers. I always tell people that Danger is my middle name. My middle initial actually is D, so that kind of almost works sometimes. Anyways, we go into October, week five, Denver Broncos at home. So you get the three of these first five, and then four, I'm sorry, I blanked there. Four, I can't do the math, Brian. The old public school education. Four out of six
at home
before the bye week. So they get the Broncos and then the Seattle Seahawks. Now, the Seattle Seahawks is slated for Sunday Night Football. I don't think that's one of the asterisk ones just yet when the flex scheduling starts. That begins in week 11, weeks 11 to 17. And additionally, in weeks 5 to 10, flexible scheduling may be used in no more than 2 weeks. For weeks 5 through 16, the schedule lists the games tentatively set for Sunday Night Football on NBC. Only Sunday afternoon games are eligible to be moved to Sunday night, in which case the tentatively scheduled Sunday night game would be moved to an afternoon start. A flexible scheduling move would be announced at least 12 days before the games in weeks 11 to 16 and at least 6 days notice for week 17. Flexible scheduling will not be applied to games airing on Thursday or Monday nights. I know there was some rumbling about that. And I don't know, like Thursdays, you definitely can't do that. But for fans,
that's tough.
It's already tough for fans when you move a game from the afternoon to the evening, especially if you're booking hotels or travel or flights or anything. That happened to me with Jacksonville a few years ago with the folks were throwing the game day tailgate experience deal, which was supposed to happen last year and got nixed because of COVID stuff.
Yeah.
And originally that game was slated, and they had a terrible start to their season. It was like week 13 or something. It was in November. I remember that, either before or after Thanksgiving. I can't recall. And that was supposed to be Sunday night game. And I had a flight booked that was coming in like Sunday morning, and I wouldn't have made it for a 1 o'clock kickoff. I don't think it touched down till at least 1:30. And, you know, flights are very reliable for being on time all the time. So that's not something you want to do, but it does. It costs fans some money and things of that nature. So he's got to plan around it. So at least they weren't hosing around with the Monday nights just yet. Steelers do have a Monday night on the schedule, but we'll get to that. The week 7 bye week, hopefully that doesn't get moved for any godforsaken reasons like it did last year. I'm cool with it being in the middle. I think some people usually want predictions at this point, and much like our predictions, which we nailed, we absolutely nailed it when we went through this last year, and we said at this point they would be 6-0. Well, I'll go with the same prediction this year.
I actually am not going to do that.
Oh, that's no fun.
I think that they will lose one of these games, so I'm going 5-0. And it may very well be that very first game, but we will see.
It's tough. I don't like putting anybody on paper. You never know what's going to happen. You don't know who has what injuries.
That is as homerish as I can get this year.
Yeah, but you know what? I love doing that, though, when you go through. And right now, I'm looking at it right now. Steelers, 5.74 opponent win percentage based on last year. Ravens are 5.63. And then it's the Bears, Packers, and Vikings, of course, all based on last year. Well, the reason why it's three of the NFC North teams based on who their common opponents are, which happen to be AFC North teams, too. So yep. They're mix and matching because the two divisions are playing each other. If these divisions go to crap, then it's all a moot point, basically. So
yep.
The big one, Halloween, trick-or-treat. Get the guys with the orange helmets. You got to go up there to the Mistake on the Lake. So the Pumpkinhead guy and the Macho fan will look right at home on October 31st.
On Halloween.
Yes, up in Cleveland. A 1 o'clock kickoff. I mean, I guess that's the one a lot of people are going to be looking forward to. We're going to see if both these teams have pretty solid records here. I know they said, what, 11-17, but they have 2 weeks lead time, and you have the bye week to maybe bump this back a little bit if both of these teams start hot. But I kind of like here where they have the bye week heading into facing the Browns. It actually seems like for once this is a good thing, although I will say the Browns do play Thursday night football, so they get a little bit of an extended break. They play at home? Yes, at home against the Denver Broncos. So they don't even leave. They go from a row. They have actually three in a row at home in their week 6. So you go to Arizona Cardinals, Denver Broncos on the short week, and then kind of a mini bye to prepare for the Steelers coming in. Steelers get the full thing. Those teams should be at full strength when you get to week 8.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm annoyed that they get the mini bye. I would like them to be in as bad a position as they possibly can be, but I'll take it, whatever.
Severely handicapped. I don't mind that at all. That's A-okay with me. I said earlier to Gavin, one of our newest contributors, SU, did you see the tweet? I said, we have the one mutual bond because he absolutely despises the Cleveland Browns. He's the one who has the, on his Twitter handle, it says the CEO of Steelers Twitter.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, here, I'm going to pull it up. You can follow him at BennettOG7. He's probably going to smile when he sees this. He says, all NFL fans with the one emoji, shaking hands, and then it says parentheses, except Browns.
There you go. It's the way it should be. Although, as I've made clear the last 3 years, I don't hate the Browns nearly as much as most people do. And I will give them credit where credit is due. I don't like the Browns.
Right there is why.
But I don't hate the Browns as much as everyone else.
Right there is why I strongly dislike the Cleveland Browns.
I understand your issues.
My house divided sign that's there. Wife, a Browns fan. My uncle, who's almost like a second dad to me, Browns fan. Just,
I got a sister-in-law, Browns fan. Sister-in-law Browns fan. Two nephews are Browns fans.
And then
my brother is a Bengals fan, and one nephew is a Bengals fan.
I thought was an Eagles fan in the family.
Well, that's the other brother. He's out here, and his whole family is Eagles fans. I don't care about that. What difference does that make to me, he's being an Eagles fan? That doesn't bother me.
Okay. Hey,
what do I care?
You say, well, I don't know. Maybe you do care. I don't know. So
they clearly none of them have any taste because none of them like the Steelers. So, what difference is it?
That's absolutely fantastic. So, by the way, just looking at some of perusing the AFC North opponents, as we'll do, we'll look at their schedules a little bit too. When the Bengals come in on week three, that'll be their second road trip in a row. They will have been at the Chicago Bears the week before. So, maybe a little bit of jet lag there. You know, there's parity in the NFL and stuff, and you can't always count on that, but I'll take what I can when we can. The Steelers actually get the Bears for week nine. That's going to be a Monday night football game, and then they get another NFC North opponent at home with the Detroit Lions. Little bit of interesting stuff here. So that's going to be week 10, November 14th, as we're into November now. And maybe Justin Fields, maybe you get to see the return of the Red Rifle, Andy Dalton, with the Chicago Bears. He proclaimed himself he's there to be the starter, man. He said that, and then
maybe he will be. We'll see.
I don't know if the Bears expected Justin Fields to be there when they were drafting. I really don't. So
yeah, well, didn't they trade to get him?
They did, but I don't know that they could have traded up unless he had fallen a little bit to be able to get into that spot. I don't think they had the ammunition to do so. And then, of course, the big Matt Stafford, Jared Goff, everything trade with the Detroit Lions. So both of these teams are trying to rebuild into something else here. A team that's already begun that last year with Justin Herbert. This is the game out on the West Coast. Why are the Chargers games always Sunday night games? Do they like seeing all the terrible towels waving in their stadium?
Oh, I'm sure they do. Absolutely. And it's going to be in the new stadium this time. Yeah. You know? So it'll be all fancy schmancy with all the extra terrible towels. Unless, I mean, look, if we're not having a good point up to that point, it won't be. But
well, I mean, last time it was Duck Hodges, and it was the soccer stadium, whatever MLS team was playing there.
True.
Thinking Carson, maybe. So I said LA. I just said the Chargers. I didn't actually say San Diego or LA. So
you did not.
That was San Diego. Michael Vick magic in the Le'Veon Bell. Over the goal line, and then Duck Hodges with Devin Bush forcing two turnovers in the first quarter, and Phillip Rivers turned into a pumpkin. But Justin Herbert had put up some really big numbers. Everyone thought, fantastic rookie year. Even though Ben Roethlisberger put up the same numbers, you get to dig the grave 6 feet and put him 1 foot in and put a little bit of dirt on him already, according to the media. So just saying. So I'm sure there'll be something dumb graphic that they'll bring up for Sunday night football that shows like a computerized Ben and a computerized Justin that are there and whatever's going on, probably with a cowboy hat or something that's totally unrelated for
something
the game.
Silly. Yeah.
So right after Thanksgiving, no Turkey Day shenanigans.
Who do we have to thank for? I feel this? So bad. Thank you.
Praise.
Hey, that's my birthday.
Gods. The 28th. That's
Sunday night game. That's the 21st. That's my birthday, the Sunday night game.
Oh, that one. I was going to say November 28th because mine's October 28th. My daughter's August 28th. That would just be
November 28th.
Yeah, I know.
It's my dad's birthday, but not mine.
Believe it or not, my mom's birthday is exactly 1 week, 7 days after mine, and then my dad is 2 days after hers. We could all just go out in the middle and just celebrate everybody all at once.
There you go.
Saved on candles. This is the guy who makes tomato soup out of the ketchup packets. Anyways, and so
there you go.
Yeah, the old thinker, not just a hat rack. Nobody does that. So this is a game I kind of look forward to. I've been making these. We'll see if I make another one and if it's just backup quarterbacks playing again or if we actually get the real deals. Because the last 2 years I went down to Cincinnati to see the Steelers play there. I even got there for the COVID year. It was one of the few stadiums that still were allowing fans. Made two games last year. I was supposed to go to that last game in Cleveland. And when the Steelers decided to sit everyone, I sold my ticket and got out of that. And thank God, because that wouldn't have been the worst loss. I couldn't imagine the other way around. That's another thing nobody talks about with the Cleveland Browns and that playoff game. No fans. There were no fans at Heinz Field. That's just, God, I mean, that's an X factor, if you're asking me. It's an X factor.
I agree.
It really is. There's a lot of pressure on, like, a Baker Mayfield playing the first time. Coaches, you get the one guy that's sitting in his living room or whatever. He couldn't even be there. And, I mean, I know that's embarrassing, but the other guy, Alex Van Pelt, wouldn't have been – how would he have handled that if there was crowd noise? It'll always be the Stan Lee what if, right?
Yeah.
So, at the Bengals, again, a 1 o'clock game. So, there's what, five primetime games total, right? So we covered a couple of them. You get a 425 game against the Ravens at home. That's a really weird start. That's going to be one of the – I think that's going to be one of those CBS games that's like the big part of the doubleheader for sure. At least one of these games always gets highlighted. It looks like that's the way it's going to be perhaps this year. So they get the Ravens at home. That's two AFC North games back-to-back. So let me see what happens. What do we got for the Bengals at week 11? They had a week 10 bye, and then they had to go to the Raiders and play in Vegas before hosting the Steelers. So I don't know. That seems kind of interesting. And then the Browns play – or not the Browns, I'm sorry. That's who the Ravens will be playing in a Sunday night game at Baltimore before coming to Heinz Field for that mid-afternoon game on now into December 5th.
Yeah, so, and that gives us the short week before yes. a long trip.
Yeah, well, Thursday night football at Minnesota. That's a cool stadium I wouldn't mind checking out too, Brian. You talk about road
trips. Thursday night I ain't going.
They got the Viking horn. Yeah, I know. That's the but unlimited yeah. PTO, man. That's what you were just bragging about. Unlimited okay. PTO.
I don't want to go there. I could do it. I don't want to. Thursday night. Forget it. I don't want to. I don't want to do it. It's Thursday right. night. It's annoying.
He's extra cranky. Mini and then you get the mini bye. So you get the field trip there, the mini bye before they host the Titans.
Bud brings his buddies.
We'll see how that works out for Bud by this time of the year. Yeah. We should find out. There'll be the Derrick Henry versus Najee Harris comparisons, provided yep. everyone's healthy and playing, and depending on how their seasons are going. That should be fairly interesting because the Titans have been a contender for, what are we talking about, almost a decade here. They haven't necessarily yeah. been a doormat. They've been at least a 500-level team for quite some time now, even with coaching changes, quarterback changes, this and that. So they've always been yep. a competitive squad. In fact, I was going back in this list to when the Steelers last had a game at home to open the season. So it was 9 out of the last 11 years they've opened on the road. They had two back-to-back. One of them was this Tennessee Titans game where they lost Marquise Pouncey, Larry Foote. I think Rod Stevens Howling, if you remember, he had a cup of coffee yeah. with the Steelers there too. And yeah, that was a very miserable game that they started there. I think Chris Johnson may have still been around back then. I don't remember, but that yeah. was a real long time ago. That was like 2013 because 2014 was the Johnny Manziel Cleveland Browns, but it wasn't Johnny Manziel playing. They wouldn't unleash him yet, even though they took him in the first round. They still had Brian Hoyer. And then they and that game went 30-27. That was a Sean Sweejum. They were up 27-3 at half. Browns ended up coming back, played real conservative. Sean Sweejum boots a 41-yarder. Raiders time expires, and the Steelers fans all walk out happy with the 3-point victory there, 30-27. And the league's like, well, screw this. We're just not going to give you a home game ever again for week one.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, the December, once again, we're starting off here with the Ravens at home, Vikings on the road for Thursday Night Football, Tennessee Titans at home. Then you go for another one of these afternoon games, 4:25 at Kansas City, at Arrowhead. This is the day after Christmas. That really makes it tough for some Steelers fans to make that trip out there. You got to sacrifice probably some of your Christmas festivities, and yep. not to mention travel during that time could be a little bit. Traveling on Christmas Day isn't too bad. I've flown on Christmas Day. Kind of easy, actually, because everybody else wants to get it out of the way either before right. or yeah. right after the return trips, and it's on a Sunday, so that's, I don't know, that's a tough one to maybe pull off. I know Tina Rivers isn't too far from there.
That's true.
So that's a place.
Maybe she'll make the trip.
She might make the trip. She's going to twist my arm into making it, too. That's just tough, you know, with the kid and everything. It's family, Christmas time.
I'll be up front. I'm not doing it.
Unlimited.
No, PTO. There's a better reason.
Oh,
it's a better reason.
Yeah.
Remember, I moved my dad out of Vegas back to Ohio, and I drove through Kansas City. I'm never going back to that place. What a crap hole.
Which side, Kansas City, Missouri, or Kansas City, Kansas?
Both of them. I'm out. Painted. And the city itself was very lovely.
Yeah.
The roadways around it. Forget it. I'm out.
Yeah,
out.
Coming over the river. I mean, but when you get there's a nice little suburb over there. Give a shout out. See if we got any Steelers fans in Overland Park, Kansas, maybe. Nice little area. I've been there before. I'm throwing out the Gil Brandt stuff.
He goes, man, Kansas. That's like the never ending state that just makes you want to die. I'm sorry. You can't driving through Kansas is like the worst experience in the world.
No. Well, I would say that, but I've been through Iowa and you have to go through Illinois.
That's just as bad. Kansas is longer.
Yeah. Chicago and Rockford, Illinois, in order to cut through into Iowa. And I'm sorry, Tina. I know you're out there in Iowa, but you can keep
Iowa's mini Kansas.
The heartland, the heart of mini Kansas.
She could be mad at me.
Well, that's why it's Tornado Alley. Nobody wants to put anything out there. But yeah, Kansas, no place like home.
Yep.
At least Dorothy thought so. We don't. Toto, goodbye. Cleveland Browns finally at home right after New Year's for Monday Night Football. There's still football, and there's still like an extra week. Does the Super Bowl end up happening later now, or is it just the way that this calendar fell? But you're closing up week 17, and now you got a week 18. Just a note here with the extra game. So you've got the Steelers playing the host of the Cleveland Browns for a Monday Night Football game for the final home game of the year. And got to hope you get enough people there that don't have the New Year's hangover or any type of resolutions where they're not going to scream at Cleveland Browns or their fans. I will not be making
that's not
such,
nobody
such
makes
statements.
That resolution. No. That's not a resolution,
especially not Gavin.
That's no, that's out. Nobody makes that resolution.
And then they got to go to the Baltimore Ravens on a short week. Now, I was going to look and see the Ravens probably drew. Oh, they didn't, but, oh, of course. So they drew the Bengals the week before that, week 16. Week 17, they host the Rams and then the Steelers. So they close out with two home games. I bet you they open at home, too. And now, you know, I saw it. Actually, that's false. They actually go to Las Vegas and play the Raiders. Then they host the Kansas City Chiefs at home for their home opener for a Sunday Night Football game. They get there by week 8. And the Bengals have a week 10 bye. And the
lucky,
Browns.
Lucky bastards.
Yeah. The Browns. Where are the Browns?
No bye. It was out. We cut it. No bye for the Browns.
I was hoping it
18
was.
18 games in a row. The hell with them.
I was hoping it would. That's basically what the Steelers did last year.
Yeah, exactly.
Week 13. So they have a very late bye. And they get it.
That is.
So get this. The Cleveland Browns play the Baltimore Ravens. Sunday Night Football on November 28th. Not your birthday.
Nope. My dad's birthday.
Yeah. Ravens Browns in Baltimore. Bye week. Ravens Browns in Cleveland. Sunday 1 o'clock. So they're bookended with the Ravens before and after the bye. That's pretty interesting. And then they have a game listed here for week 15 too, where they play the Raiders. To be determined. They don't even have it on there. So they hadn't figured out what they're going to do. Now, by this point, we're talking about what? We're 3 weeks into December. College football is wrapping up. So there's going to be some Saturday games, too, that are going to start getting into here. And that's probably going to be one of these where they host the Raiders at home. So that's kind of interesting. They have a bye and then two home games, but they have the Ravens bookended. That's kind of neat. They also have three home games in a row. Is what I saw. I didn't see how many primetime games, but they're no longer are the Browns stuck as the Sunday 1 o'clock exclusives. So they're going to have to do a little more adjustment to their schedule. There's going to be a little more shakeup than what some of those guys are used to doing. Is it really that big a deal? I don't know, man. I mean, there's some factors to it. We've talked about it over the years. We've talked about the mileage and the jet lag with the travel. We've talked about the time changes and making and getting the proper sleep and nutrition and everything like that. And I know there's a lot of sports science to handle some of that. And then you just got a bunch of immature dummies and bad coaches that don't. And I know somebody's going to jump in the comments and say, Mike Tomlin's one of those guys. I don't see this team being – how about, like, we saw a tweet earlier, didn't we? What do you think the Steelers will be after week one? Because it was the only game that was announced. And I was like, well, we got some options here. They could be 1-0. They could be 0-1. Or they could be 0-0-1. And if you don't agree with any of that, then the game got postponed for some reason. So
right.
Yeah. Just, I don't know. I don't like throwing out predictions. We always do it in jest, and we're like, okay, 17-0 or whatever like that. And it's just like I look at the schedule, and I'm just kind of like really like I understand, you know, you look at what Cleveland ended up with – I think all three of their uncommon games, I guess I'll call them, all happen in weeks 1, 2, and 3. They play open at the Jacksonville Jaguars, so they get the benefit of playing possibly a rookie quarterback and a first-time NFL head coach. They go play in warm weather, though. I don't know. New York Giants, they host. Giants might be healthy. I thought the Giants were well-coached last year. Yeah. Just a lot of injuries, a lot of issues there. And then the Falcons, they got to go to Atlanta and play there. And that one's scheduled for Sunday, and it says 8 o'clock. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm looking at preseason. I'm an idiot. They play at the Chiefs. I'm sorry. Chiefs hosting the Texans and then hosting the Bears. But they did have the three home games. Man, brain fart here. Although, that is an interesting preseason schedule, having to fly from Cleveland to Jacksonville for a preseason game. Blah. I don't know. But anyways, you can't tell me with any confidence, no matter
how. Come on, Odell's going to be on a boat.
That might be his last time. You can't tell me with any confidence. You don't know what's going on with the Texans, but it's like the Chiefs, Texans, Bears. You really don't know what's going on with some of these teams. The Ravens, they start out at the Raiders. They get the Chiefs also, and then the Lions. And then, of course, the Bengals. We'll see what they end up doing. See, the other teams didn't put their preseason games at the top of the schedule. That's how I got goofed. The Vikings, Bears, and then the Steelers when it comes to the Bengals schedule. So by the time you get through September, I don't know that any of these teams will really shake out as a favorite. I could see all of them kind of jockeying as a 2-2. Well, you don't even get into September because then you're almost in October. You might have some 2-2 schedules or records, or let's say if you're 1-3, you're probably in a lot of trouble. But my guess would be it's going to be all 3-1s and 2-2s before this really shakes out. That's why I don't really like to get into all these things. I wonder how many records are going to be tied at the end of the season. You used to have all these convoluted tiebreakers, and now with the extra game, I would think in an odd number that shouldn't be as possible as it was in the past.
I think it'll be interesting. I mean, you know, this is the year when, you know, there can be no break evens, right? Nobody can be 8-8. I guess you could be 8-8-1, right? But that's the only way. You're never going to be straight 8-8. So, I think it's interesting. This is, look, on paper, as we said, on paper, this is not an easy schedule. There's some games that are not that tough, but this is not an easy schedule. Strength of schedule is pretty high, but again, you don't know what these teams are going to be like this year. Are the Raiders going to be better or worse after trading away, like, what, every offensive line player they had or whatever the hell they were doing? You know, are they going to be a better team or a worse team? I don't know. Is Derek Carr going to be better, or is he going to turn into a pumpkin and become Andy Dalton Jr.? I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen with those teams. You know, is Burrow going to be, you know, unstoppable with the addition of Chase as his wide out, you know, with whatever that, receiving core is going to look like, which can be considered to be somewhat dynamic, I would say. But is he going to be able to stay in the pocket, throw the ball to any of them or not? Is the offensive line? There's so many questions that it's really difficult to say. But they'll be 16-1 because I already said they'd be 5-1 at the beginning. So they'll be 16-1 by the end of the game or by the end of the season.
By the way, Steelers and Ravens both 5 primetime games. Browns have 3. Bengals have 1. You said there was something you were not happy with the schedule.
What I'm not happy with is that we get the Ravens and then a short week to go to Minnesota. I don't like it.
Thank you. I didn't want to steal that from you, but that's the one I was looking at.
It annoys the crap out of me. You know, it's always – but, I mean, look, it's always something, right? I can't be too upset. We get – instead of – you know, they could have done this to us. It could have been Sunday night – or Sunday night game with the Lions, then a Thursday night game in – Los Angeles, and then come back, you know, for that. It could have been even worse. So I can't complain a lot. Any place they put those Thursday night games is annoying. It just bothers me that it's right after the Ravens, which we always know is a tough game. They're going to be beat up. It's late in the season. You know, that's the one thing, the one game that annoys me. But, you know, realistically, for considering the schedule that we normally get, right, considering the way the games normally line up, and this isn't that bad logistically.
No, not at all.
Logistically.
The best was the year they were played on nothing but Eastern time.
Yeah.
And they don't have, let me see, they got the Green Bay game. That'll be Central. And then, let's see, Cleveland. They got a West Coast game at the Los Angeles Chargers.
I think that's it.
In Minnesota. So they got Kansas City. Kansas City. I'm not going to go there because I can't do James Brown, but I was thinking of the one song from Rocky IV where he starts spouting off New York City, Kansas City, Chicago.
Coming to America.
You could almost do that. It's coming to the Pittsburgh Steelers schedule. They play all those teams except the New York City. But anyway.
I feel good.
No, that's not the same one. It's not the big.
But it is James Brown.
It's the big Apollo Creed entrance, man.
I know.
Living in America, man. Come on.
Living in America.
Yeah, I was looking for some of the media tweets. Of course, Aditi Kikawala is already noting how the Steelers haven't played well at the end of each of these seasons. She has said here they play 2020 playoff teams in five of their last six games. Notable because Pittsburgh hasn't exactly played its best football at the tail end of its season 3 years in a row now. Finished 2-4 in 2018. Yeah, 2018 is the interesting debacle of.
Wait, go back to that. What playoff team isn't in those six games?
Let's see. She got the Vikings were pretty poor last year.
I couldn't remember. For some reason I thought they might have, but I guess not.
Yeah, and it's looking at that 2018 schedule. In fact, I was going to pull up the Vikings just to humor you. 7-9, so hasn't been becoming of them. I wonder when Mike Zimmer gets on the hot seat, because you'd want to talk about hot cold with people who complain, you know, about their franchises and whatnot, and especially when you spend $96 million on a quarterback. He's been 11-5 and lost a wild card. He's been 8-8, and then 13-3, he lost the conference championship game. Of course, they probably should have never made it to – was that the one with the Saints and the pass interference call that was the no call?
Probably. I think it might have been. Don't remember.
The one miracle play, and it's just like, yeah. Oh, dear. And then 8-7 – and then didn't make the playoffs there either. 8-7-1, I'm sorry. And then 10-6, lost the divisional game. And then 7-9. And I mean, that's a team that's been really mediocre over the last few years. So going back to the Steelers in 2018, this was the Antonio Brown crybaby tour. The Steelers lost that game to the Broncos. This is kind of, I think, what ended up setting it off was when Ben was talking about Shelby Harris, the nose tackle, getting his paws on the one ball for that interception in the end zone toward the end. That was the Xavier Grimble fumble that we were talking about in the corner, front corner of the end zone. And it was ruled a touchback on the replay, and just a comedy of errors. They had played the Chargers at home. And I'm almost wondering if I recall correctly, is that the game where the left tackle didn't get called for the false starts or whatever? That's the game they moved.
Wasn't that like every third game that one year?
Oh, I swear to God,
it happened every single year.
Well, that's the game they moved to Sunday Night Football. It was supposed to be a 1 o'clock game against the West Coast opponent. They moved it to Sunday Night Football. And then there was that one. I just remember it was a touchdown off of it. I forget who got – everybody got froze on the defense because everybody thought there was a hanky coming out. And, you know, I'm not trying to make excuses here, but when you just say poor football, they lost to the Raiders. That was the X-ray machine thing. And then it was do or die, and they beat the Patriots in their own home. They finally got the chip off their shoulder there, and then they went to the Saints and had the worst pass interference call – two of them in the history of football, probably. It's always the Saints, one way or another. They always have some controversy surrounding them. I blame them. So 2019 is the Duck Hodges World Tour with the six picks and the nine sacks in those games. So last year, the collapse, COVID rescheduling, messing around with them, Wednesday game, and then after the Ravens, and then a shorter. That's why we think that the Vikings, this is what we bring this up. It's pretty well known, after your team plays the Ravens or Steelers, usually your more physical football games, you're almost counting on the L right after that. And even when they play each other, they don't look sharp the very next game they come out. And that was the Washington football team last year.
Yeah.
They play the Bills. The Bills were a strong team last year, okay? The last game of the year, they set their starters. And Mason Rudolph should have, I wish, would have given the Browns their medicine there. And then you wouldn't have saw them at all in the playoffs and that whole debacle. So some of what she says carries some weight there, but some of it I'm just kind of like, okay, whatever. 2019 for me is an asterisk. You just don't count anything there. Jerry Dulac says Steelers are paying the price for winning the AFC North. 9 of their games are against teams with 11 or more wins in 2020, including 2 each against Baltimore and Cleveland. 3 of those games are on the road versus teams that won the division title, Buffalo, Kansas City, and Green Bay. So here's the thing. When we're talking about strength of schedule and people bring these things up, and I think I'm going to put a lid on it for the rest of this before I really start going off. Again, if the Steelers played a weak schedule last year, then why are we just immediately saying, that, oh, 11 teams with 11 or more wins, the Ravens and the Browns? No, they played a crap schedule too. They have basically the same common opponents, and they have basically the same common opponents this year as well. Not the ones I said from the preseason. Brain fart. I should have just cut that out of there, but you know what? We'll keep it for the gag reel here. But regardless, Brian, that's about the only spot on the schedule where I don't feel they're necessarily set up. I'm sure there's somebody that they're playing on here. I haven't given it the Inspector Gadget magnifying glass look to see who all had a bye week before, but it's none of their division opponents this time. So that I would much prefer that versus what the Browns are ended up doing. They get to play it. They basically could just take their game plan, regardless of what happens with Baltimore, take it home with them on the bye week, bring it back out and tweak it, and then they don't have to change a whole lot, watch a whole lot of film. You know what I mean? So yeah. It's just going to be the same old thing. And when you play somebody that close together with that kind of familiarity, we saw what happened with the playoff games. You know what I mean? That's tough playing a team that close together. They're not always the same team. The Steelers team that started in week 1 was not the same team that finished, obviously, in week 17 for the final game because guys sat. But still, you're missing pieces like Devin Bush, Bud Dupree, things of that nature. So we're going to see how this ends up working. That's about all I'm going to say. I'm not going to get into players and personnel and other stuff like that because that's stuff for another show. Yes. So any closing thoughts on the schedule, man? I mean, I think this one's a little more fair than usual. At least you're not going to Tampa Bay and having them raise the banner, or New England is what I should say, which they did to the Steelers twice. Over the last few years on the road to hoist the banner. Of course, the one wasn't a Thursday night game, but the other one was a Sunday night game. It's like, come on, man. Like, seriously, we really need to be doing this.
That's what I said. I feel like this is maybe in the last decade, probably one of the most logistically sound, fair kind of schedules Steelers have had to face. There's just not 10 tons of stuff to complain about it. Yes, it's a tough schedule. Yes, there's a couple spots that are bad, but it's not like past years, as we've said, where, man, you could just complain about the whole thing. Oh, it's 5 games on the road in a row. Oh, we only have 1 game in the first half of the season, or 2 home games in the first half of the season, or we have 2 home games in the back half of the season, or something ridiculous, right? None of that kind of nonsense. It's pretty well balanced. I will give the schedule makers some credit. I think that here's the bottom line. I think they've sort of forgotten about us.
Yeah, I think so.
I think they've forgotten about us.
That's good.
And maybe we'll remind them, and then next year our schedule will suck.
No, if the schedule sucks, it's usually because you aren't winning. And that's the problem, too, that a lot of people haven't analyzed over the years. If in theory teams are consistent from year to year, which isn't always the case because you have like almost 50% turnover and who makes the playoffs each year. But if you were to use that as a benchmark, you know, it sounds like a good idea in your head. And let's just say it is consistent. The Steelers, by virtue of not having any losing seasons, mean they always have a tough schedule because they're always going to be throwing a few extra AFC opponents from within the conference that have finished at least first or second in their divisions, rather than playing some of the basement dwellers. So you do have that as a factor there. One other note was, too, Art Rooney had mentioned that there will be a Color Rush game. We don't know when that is yet. And I wish they didn't use them last year. I don't know if it was just – because of the whole COVID thing or whatever, that they just had a brain fart. But the block number throwback jerseys were pretty cool too. Just the your standard old throwback style. So they had like four different uniforms there the previous year, but they only wore the Color Rush as their alternate last year. And I would think you would probably wear more than once, definitely if you're going to have an extra game on the schedule and nine of them at home. So
yeah, I would think so.
Cool. That'd be kind of cool. And it usually the candidate for that's probably the Browns after the bye. That's going to be it. That's probably going to be it. And if I had to guess again, it's probably that afternoon game at Heinz Field too against the Baltimore Ravens. That makes a lot of sense to me. So, they wouldn't wear the Color Rush because I thought the bye game was going back to Cleveland. They get Cleveland later in the year at home. So, hey, that might still be it. You never know how close. That's usually the extra motivation. Those games are, the records are tight and everything like that. So we'll see how that ends up working out. Brian, man, thanks for joining me once again. Man, we up against it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's always a pleasure. Glad we could get on. Hopefully we'll get back to our normal two-a-week schedule as soon as we have enough to talk about.
Yeah, enough to talk about. And also, I like to be a transparent guy. It was Mother's Day this past weekend. I did some stuff with my mom back in the hometown. And then I brought her back with me to spend a week, too, so she gets to see the little one and everything like that. So I'm taking a little extra time to be with mom. Now all of you can go, aw. For those of you 5%, the 5% are still listening. The rest of just probably sound like still like a jerk.
Aww.
Now, a little softer side. No, not the soft side that's down here by my belly. Just the softer side that I got here. So... and not Brian's soft, succulent lips either. So I can't remember if we were saying that offline or not, but you threw a really big word at me and I was just like, oh my goodness, man, that sounds like something out of the Script Spelling Bee. So forgot what it was now. But anyways, I'm babbling, I'm yammering, and that usually means it's time to go. So my name's Joe. His name's Brian. Don't forget to like, comment, subscribe, rate the show, review it, share it with your friends, whether by word of mouth, electronically, digitally. You can even send it through the snail mail if you want to. We appreciate all that stuff. We would also appreciate,
I was going to say, we're the biggest little show that nobody listens to.
That's like the worst tagline ever. No, we're the black and gold standard for Pittsburgh Steelers coverage.
Yeah, I want to get our number. What's our total listenership? Number, how many people have listened to a podcast over the last whatever years?
How long have we like been how doing many, this for? Oh, we're almost at like 1.5 million yeah. total. Something
I, just
like
because
that.
You know the Twitter guy, it still nags at me.
But yeah, dude, nobody that Twitter. Somebody
Twitter
said
bonehead
nobody
was,
listens.
Oh, nobody listens to your podcast.
No, yeah, there's a few people out there that have listened.
1.5 million people can't be wrong, but apparently they don't exist. I don't know. We know
I
all
mean,
you
some of those are repeat
there.
Listeners. Those are they're still unique listens, but if somebody listens to every show, that's not necessarily the same number either. But still, that's
we know that there's several thousand of you, and we love you.
and we do. We love you. We appreciate you. And for some reason, it was the number that came to my head was somewhere in 2016, I believe, is when the show began. And we do appreciate everyone. Yeah, actually, it was August of 2016. So about 5 years almost, going on six, my friend. And believe it or not, I was doing this solo for a little while, and then you jumped in somewhere there. So doing this at least twice a week, we appreciate your support listening as much as you probably appreciate us coming on. And we'll be back with more Steelers content here in the coming weeks. So make sure you tune in for that. And we, like I said, we appreciate all the other things we told you to do. Go out there, share it, spam it, whatever you want to do. So we do appreciate it. Until next time. Once again, I'm Joe, he's Brian. We encourage everyone out there to be safe, be good, and we'll catch you later.
We would like to thank you for listening and remind our listeners to follow us on social media and our website, www.steelcityunderground.com.